Welcome to the Watson Weekly. I'm your host, Rick Watson.
Hi, it's Jessica Loseski.
We're back, and we are sponsored by Avalara. We have a banging show for you today.
Is it never not banging, Rick?
Exactly. It's hot. Our three stories. First up, Amazon and Anthropic deepen their partnership. Second, Home Depot acquires Simple Automation. And finally, the big news of the week. Apple announces John Ternus as new CEO, moving Tim Cook to chairman. Did you know that we have a newsletter? Head over to WatsonWeekly.com, hit subscribe. Millions and millions of people subscribe every week.
Yeah, don't get left behind. This should be your only source of news because we bring all the action in the heat.
Exactly. We love it. First up, Amazon goes back to the well and invests in Anthropic. To catch you up, Anthropic, the maker of Claude, in case you didn't know and been living under a rock, like maybe the Amazon bedrock, they have partnered since 2023. Over 100,000 customers are using Anthropic Claude on Bedrock. Amazon has already invested about $8 billion in Anthropic over the years. Own, by reports, 15%. This April, they announced a major expansion to their investment. They're going to spend, it's actually kind of like a little bit of a tit for tat here. And I think, again, whatever you negotiate with Amazon, Jess, do you win?
No, not Amazon. Amazon always wins. They always come out on top. It's like in Vegas. The house always wins. Amazon will always win.
I go back to Gloria and White Men Can't Jump. It's like even when you win, you really lose. Sometimes when you lose, you really win.
Yes.
Anthropic will have to spend $100 billion on AWS over the next decade. That is a big number.
Yeah.
And in exchange for that, Amazon is going to invest $5 billion today, potentially $20 billion at some point in the future, some guaranteed compute capacity up to a gigawatt.
Wow. There's lots of big numbers floating around here. The horse trading of dollars, you know, Amazon certainly making this investment is news. Like you said, Anthropic's commitment, though, to how that investment continues to be used and monetized is definitely interesting. Where are all these billions coming from, my friend?
That is a great question. I mean, Amazon has a pretty cash-rich balance sheet, $5 billion. It's spending $200 billion a year in CapEx now. What's $5 billion between friends? Amazon makes so much money. I think the better question is, where is Anthropic going to get the $100 billion that it needs there? I'm guessing it's going to take that money from somewhere else, similar to how OpenAI is sort of recycling money from NVIDIA that goes back to NVIDIA and all these things. So,
well, when more people start hitting their token thresholds, we know why. The cash registers are ringing and the bills got to be paid.
We're token maxing here on the show, just in case you didn't know. We have our own leaderboard. I think Jess is ahead.
That's right. I'm just like slamming my laptop. No. Right.
This is a critical deal for Anthropic to make. They're constrained by compute. Anyone who's used Claude recognize that it's one of the only LLMs that actually limits how much you can do in a certain time period.
Yes.
You know, if you go to OpenAI or Gemini, you can pretty much do whatever you want within reason, but the limits on Claude are very much more visible to you. And so they need more compute. Amazon needs more customers. I think this is a good bet for Amazon chips. I find it interesting that Google is the only person who hasn't invested in Anthropic, Microsoft, you know, and I think there's a little bit of a gap there. Does Microsoft have a share in Anthropic? So I think it's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I guess my take on this when I heard this story, Rick, is like, it feels like the Bachelor AI edition. You know, who's like going to get the rose in the final ceremony? You know, Anthropic's throwing the bees. OpenAI's gotten the investments from Amazon, but again, also is making commitments. Perplexity, they're not even in the mix. Like they got sent home on the first night, or actually they couldn't even get in the door, right? Because their bots are getting blocked left and right, can't crawl. So it's interesting. It feels like a little bit of a saga here. And we'll see who wins out in the end.
Exactly. I'm excited to see the end of the Bachelor episode. In our household, the age of attraction is the car crash TV we're watching right now. So bad.
Hey, everyone needs some mindless TV.
Exactly. Next up on our story is Home Depot acquiring Simple Automation. Just to catch you up, Home Depot and Lowe's have been on a tear, mostly at Home Depot's urging. Lowe's is trying to catch up.
Yep.
They are spending more money to look like distributors, meaning they are invested in things that were traditionally not things a retailer would do, which means like more supply chain, more services. They have now acquired a company called Simple Automation. What's Simple Automation? And actually, we have kind of a banging video. They have only raised $100,000. There was a pilot with Home Depot. Home Depot is really one of the only customers. It sounded like an acqui-hire here. If you kind of look through it, the challenge is, what do they solve? It's essentially density on racks in the warehouse. The video is quite funny. It shows before the human up on a forklift sort of doing things.
Yes.
And then after... guess what? Human go bye-bye. Only robots.
The bots are winning and taking over.
Yeah. And the video, if you go to Simple Automation website, it has a banging bass line.
That's
too.
What I was going to say. You know, also these robots, they're humming along to some sick beats.
Right. I love that. To me, that's the famous part. There was a pilot at Home Depot's Locust Grove distribution center. It delivered things like faster speeds, reduced cycle times, and fewer touches of the product. Basically, the product goes in bins. And this is a kind of a common system that we've seen other places, but they have a patent on the system. We've seen in grocery, like Ocado have these kind of technologies, but I hadn't seen it in the home improvement space. And certainly it's not very often that you see a retailer acquiring a robotics company. So
correct. Yeah. I mean, technically, I guess if you called Amazon a retailer, they were the first, right? Didn't they acquire Kiva Systems? And that was at least my first exposure to the whole robotics fulfillment strategy. And like you said, you know, seeing a home improvement retailer play in this space is interesting. It's just like there's weight, right? That looks a lot different than pick packing apparel. The size, it's not like things fit nicely into some of these bins. I mean, how many drills are you kind of putting into a bin? For sure your appliances aren't hidden in there. What do you think this means, you know, for, you talked about the push-pull between Lowe's and Home Depot, Lowe's playing catch-up. Can you talk a little bit about that there? What does it mean for them? Are they behind even more now, or they're just going to innovate in other ways?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, this is an efficiency metric. I mean, Home Depot is a little bit larger than Lowe's, whereas you know, they have more stores. Lowe's just have sort of bigger per store revenue. The supply chains of these companies just keep kind of matching each other. And so I think it just, it's not hard to tell the future. And so I think this is one of those cases where these companies are still, are just going to say, look, the volume doesn't go down. There seems to be continued room in this market for multiple players. And as a result, efficiency is going to be important. Labor is difficult to manage, shifts and bursts in labor and holidays and sick times, and not to mention contracts, which has caused so much problems for UPS and the major carriers. It's also sort of like, can you match us? Home Depot's CapEx spend has gone up 42% since 2021. That's a stat that I think is pretty mind-blowing when you think like you walk into a Home Depot, it's like, is this complicated?
Right.
When, you know, I think it kind of is.
The investments as a percent of sales went from 1.7 to 2.5%. So they are definitely in it to win it with some strategic bets. And it'll be one to watch on how it unfolds.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
Well, I'm going to bring us home, Rick, with the kind of powerhouse news that everyone has been talking about, which is the Tim Cook era at Apple has come to an end, at least from the CEO suite.
That's right.
And it is pretty phenomenal, I think, in terms of timing. But to catch you up, Tim Cook became the CEO in August of 2011. It was 6 weeks before Steve Jobs died. So there was a lot of turmoil, I think, just happening at the time when he came into the business. He's run it for 15 years. on his watch, the market cap has ballooned from $350 billion to $4 trillion. That's with some T's.
I remember when they became the first $1 trillion company.
That's right. Oh my gosh, everyone was talking about it. Yes, 100%. Revenues quadrupled to $416 billion. Services on its own is a $100 billion business. And I think a lot of people forget that Apple is a services company. The Cook Doctrine really was focused on owning these core technologies. He is the king of focus and saying no. Distractions are just not in his DNA. And he really pioneered this. Let's do a few things exceptionally well. So, you know, it comes not as a surprise. I think there had been a lot of speculation about when would his era end. But he announced that he's going to step up to exec chairman. He's not totally gone. Still have some fingerprints on the business. And John Ternus, who is a 25-year Apple veteran and the current SVP of hardware engineering, is going to now take over as CEO. So, Rick, what do you think this signals in terms of the succession plan and where Apple believes their future is?
Yeah, I think Apple could have gone in a number of directions with this hire. You have Craig Federighi, who has gone, you know, he handles a lot of the software and operating systems, iOS and macOS. Yep. And then you have Eddie Q, who's responsible for more of the entertainment and the services strategy. But I think at the end of the day, making beautiful hardware that works well is, for Nike, it should be about the shoes. For Apple, it's really about the devices. And I think that's really where their bread is buttered. And it's probably a wise decision in the long term. You know, whether John Ternus is the right person, there's reportedly a big battle for keeping talent where they elevated someone to chief hardware officer. And now John Ternus gets to remain a CEO. John has been involved in a lot of major decisions in Apple's history, including, you know, remember they were moved from Intel chips to Apple's own silicon. They made a big move to China and Foxconn in particular to manufacture iPhones. That has changed a little bit recently with all the trade wars with China. Apple manufactures more in India now. They're making noises about manufacturing in the US. Steve Jobs and you know, used to basically say, like, we can't manufacture in the US. Like, nobody wants to build these things here.
Right, right. Well, and you can't afford it. I mean, the iPhone itself is not cheap. And, you know, let's add some additional labor costs. Maybe some simple bots will come in and help save the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are also some things I'm curious how Ternus will think about strategic partnerships, right? Google has been such a juggernaut in terms of Apple revenue because that Google deal where search really is front and center for Safari was, you know, started in Mac. It extended to iPhone in 2007. It's just basically a cash cow. And we know that, you know, there's also the Gemini powering Apple Siri now as the AI engine versus them building it on their own. What do you think his strategy is going to be, whether it's on the strategic partnership side and how they continue, or just overall, like, what are the kind of key pillars you think he's going to do, not in his like first 90 days, but just in his tenure?
Yeah, I think what to do about AI is going to be a key part of the strategy. I think not just in the products, which is the obvious one, but also within the company. You know, does the company have enough AI talent to survive as a modern manufacturer? How will they change how they work compared to other companies that they're competing with is a question, particularly Google, who's really their biggest competitor. Apple famously didn't really develop a search engine and essentially just get paid cash money from Google every year. That deal is ostensibly worth about $20 billion a year to them. I expect they see the world similar in the age of AI, especially for the consumer-facing part of AI. They're just going to pick the winner. The one who has the most cash with the best, essentially the way it's going to work usually is like the one who has the most cash has the most margin.
Yeah.
And they have the best model because they have the most money to develop the best model. Like, so all these things sort of usually converge on a winner at some point.
Yep.
And you might see some changes before then, but I think the integration with your life is, I am most interested in seeing what Apple comes up with, because Apple likes to do kind of like subtle, non-obvious things that just kind of work, whereas other people tend to do like big and splashy things. And so that's kind of what I'm interested to see about
Yeah, I guess we won't talk about the Vision Pro in that mix. No, it's okay. You're in your Be Bold initiative.
The face computer.
You're okay to like have a little blips here and there.
Ouch.
Yeah. What about stores and retail? Because retail has just been so, I think, integral to Apple in their innovation. Their stores are destinations, their hubs. They're where people not just go and shop, but they go and hang out and they get to experience devices. You know, they have 500 plus stores. They, you know, more than doubled the countries that have a physical Apple store presence. Do you think retail becomes important or less so in this evolution?
Yeah, I think retail is important. It's always been important since, you know, in the last 20 years, Apple opened their own stores. Previously, they used to have do a lot of things through resellers when Apple wasn't really the Apple we know today, and they couldn't control the experience. But Apple really nailed their store concept. And I think the idea of the Genius Bar was innovative. And I think you still hear people today who are like, I get an Apple because I can go and there's a Genius Bar so it could fix something for me. Most people are not technical.
No.
And I think that's what the world seems to forget that.
Yeah.
And I think Apple never did. Even though their products are to use them the best, they can get complicated, but there is a simplicity that they seem to get to that other people, and I think Microsoft is an example of that never, you know, doesn't make simple things. They make things more for bigger companies, but Apple never really lost that DNA.
Yeah, those Microsoft stores did not take off, similar to like the Sabre store footprint in the office. The pyramid did not prevail.
I love it.
The other interesting thing when I think about this era is privacy and how privacy has been so important to Apple's DNA, right? They talk about it. It's part of their value proposition now. And I wonder if that will give them some kind of foothold in this AI space that maybe is a competitive advantage where, other LLMs are for sure, training and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And while Apple may still do that, I wonder if the walled garden protection could be something that strategically sets them apart in the industry. Do you have thoughts on that? Or am
I think it's a good point because I think it's kind of a natively Apple concept that they've really pushed for years and years in a world where Meta basically proved that no one cares about privacy at all.
Yeah.
Apple has sort of been famously on the other side of it and puts it in ads. Is it a differentiator? The company seems to continue to think it is. And I think in the age of AI, there's almost like no better time to keep pushing that narrative. Because you really don't know what these other companies are doing with your data. And that reliability and privacy of those models that Apple gives you access to, where does your data go? They've been very consistent with that message.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we think about this next era and the handoff, I do want to say in a little love letter to Tim Cook, Tim, thank you for all you've done for me personally, for the world. You have brought us to new heights. You have fried my son's brain with the amount of times he leaves his AirPods in, but no love lost here.
Right.
Really impressive run. I think he's left Apple in an amazing stance to weather like the next, future and what we see ahead.
Thank you, Tim. We salute
thank you.
Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Yes.
Awesome. Move on. Well, that's our show, folks. We appreciate you listening in. And just from both of us here, stay classy, be bold, and catch you next time.
Have a great weekend, everyone.